most people tend to give money and their zakat during Ramadan. Otherwise, Ramadan has no special connection with zakat. They're totally two different things. There's no special connection of Ramadan and zakat. But because zakat is fard, and Allah promises 70 times the amount, so people like to give it there. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن صدق الله العظيم. Dear brothers,
sisters,
dear sisters, and dear friends, dear ulama, it's my honor to be here. I gave a similar program maybe about 10 years ago. I can't remember exactly which year, but it was a very long time ago. I don't know if any of you were here at that time. It was about 10 years ago in this masjid, mashallah. So the topic is the fiqh of Ramadan. I don't want to bore you with too much fiqh, too much of the masail, but I'm going to mention a few things and then inshallah we can open it for any questions related to Ramadan. Inshallah, that will be easier that I deal with the questions that you may have than me trying to confuse you with new questions that you may not have any confusion about, inshallah. So firstly, I think, look, when I look around here, I don't think there is anybody for whom it's going to be their first Ramadan. Is there anybody who this Ramadan in one over a week's time is going to be their first Ramadan? Anybody like that? MashaAllah, many of us are veterans in Ramadan. We have many, many Ramadans we have done. So why are we having this program for? We do it every year. Everybody's quite professional of how to spend Ramadan. Everybody has their own arrangement in Ramadan. So what are we doing this program for? Right? Especially 2-3 hours program is a very long program for Ramadan, if you think about it. However, the reason is that this Ramadan that's coming up, my motivation for this Ramadan that's coming up is that may Allah make it better than any Ramadan before it. That should be our focus in every Ramadan that comes up, because every Ramadan that comes up, new one, is another chance for us to get that much closer to Allah. There's very few other times, unless you go for Hajj maybe, that you can actually get closer to Allah. And there are so many rewards on offer as there is in Ramadan. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which says that if somebody missed the fast of Ramadan, so my little brother here, if he plays football, and he said, you know what, I've got a big football match today, so I'm not going to fast today because I'm going to get tired. So I'm not going to fast. He doesn't do that. You don't do that, do you? Right? But imagine somebody said, I've got a big business meeting, I have to look all fresh, and I have to take out my big business client out to lunch. It's going to look strange if I'm fasting, you know. So they decide, I'll keep it later. I'll miss one day of Ramadan. I'm not breaking it, I'm just missing it. So after Ramadan, then he feels very sorry about it and regretful, and he decides that he's going to fast the entire year. The hadith mentions that you can't get the same reward that you miss for that one day. Okay, your qadha will be done, but you can't get the same reward. Allah has just increased everything in Ramadan. And you feel it. It's scientific. You actually feel it. I don't know if there's any Muslim who doesn't feel different in Ramadan. As soon as Ramadan is declared, you start feeling different. Why? Because Allah has made many changes. Allah makes one change of locking up the doors of hell. Closes the doors of hellfire. You want to go to hell in Ramadan, you have to break in. You have to be really serious and really committed sinner if you want to go to Ramadan, to hellfire in Ramadan. He opens up the doors of paradise. You want to come? Bismillah. Very easy. And then he locks up the shaitan. Shayateen are locked up. That's why we generally feel a lot more pious, righteous. We want to pray more. Everything is changed in Ramadan. There's so much barakah in Ramadan. The amount of the amount of food that people feed in Ramadan is probably not replicated throughout the year. In Ramadan, our women, mashallah, who cook, even though they're fasting, they get ajib ability to make all of these new foods. They make kisuri in Ramadan only. They don't make it from throughout the year. Only in Ramadan they get himmat to do this. And all of this other food as well. Right? They make all of these amazing foods in Ramadan. Not that that's what Ramadan is for, but I'm just saying that this is what happens. Masajid are feeding people. Allah is generous in Ramadan. That's why His generosity is spreading everywhere. How is Allah generous? He's opened the doors of paradise. He's closed the doors of hellfire. Locked up the shaitan. Then He said something. He said, you know, all of the fara'id and obligations which you must do anyway. You have to pray namaz. You have to fast. I know you have to do it because I've obligated you to do it. But you know what? I'm going to give you 70 times the reward for it in this month. Now, if you have another shop somewhere which is closing down, or they have offer, they give you one, buy one, get one free. Maybe buy one, get two free. Maybe 60% off, 70% off. Nobody gives you buy one, get 70 free. Nobody gives you that. Only Allah does. And that's for something we have to do anyway. It's our obligation as slaves of Allah to do it. He says, no, I'm going to give you reward for it. I know you have to do it, but I want you to get the reward. And for any other worship, I'm going to increase it to the same as a fard worship. Any nafl worship, I'm going to increase to that worship. So now you can see that Allah is making a massive difference. And it says that the Prophet ﷺ was very generous, and he was most generous in Ramadan when he used to read to Jibreel alayhi salam the Quran. So now, what we have is our Ramadan is, if we've done 20 Ramadans before, has our, you know, last year's Ramadan that we did, how different was it from Ramadan 10 years ago? Was there much difference? So if we prayed this much Quran 10 years ago, we're still praying the same amount of Quran. If we give this much sadaqah, that's still how much we're giving. It's like we've got it set. We're never gonna go beyond that. Unless you're doing so much that you can't do anymore. MashaAllah, there are some people, their time is, they can't do anymore in Ramadan. Unless Allah opens up more time for them. Because they regulate their Ramadan and fix it in such a way that no time is wasted, no moment is wasted. But most of us aren't like that, right? So I'll give you a few examples. Our young brothers, when they finish college and they're going to go and get their first job, they're going for an interview. Now, usually you have to have like a blazer or something and look a bit formal, right? To go for interview. And you don't have a blazer, you just need a blazer. So a blazer from Primark will be okay, right? A blazer from Asda. A jacket from Asda, which should be okay for your first meeting. After a few years, will you still wear a blazer from Primark? No. What's wrong with Primark? Right? You know what I mean? Then it becomes, we need designer. It needs to be Gucci, Canali, Giorgio Armani. Then maybe it needs to be hand-stitched ones, you know, especially for you because we moved up in the world. A young man, he needs a car. Any car is fine. Give me a banger, it's okay. After a few years, no, I need this car. In everything, we become, mashallah, more refined. We become more professional. We become more particular. In everything. Even in jubbas. We become particular. You know, little kid, have you got a phone? No. Would you be happy if you got a phone? Yeah. If I gave you like a old, very old phone, would you be happy with that? I'll still be okay, right? Yeah. Any phone works. Now, if I ask our older brother, I mean, any phone works for you? No, you're going to need a special phone now, you know. So, but when it comes to Ramadan, we're still doing what we used to do before. We're still on beta version. We haven't upgraded. We're still doing what we did before, the, you know, off-the-shelf, no-frills brand version that we've been doing, and we think that's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually, in Ramadan, giving us a making so much changes, giving us an excuse to do better. That's why my dua, and may Allah accept it for all of us, is always every Ramadan, Ya Allah, make this Ramadan better than any Ramadan before it. Make me closer to you than I've ever been before. Raise my iman to a level I've never been before and maintain it for me. That's the most important thing. Now, the way to get the most out of Ramadan is obviously to do it correctly and to time everything. If you want to be efficient in anything, you need to time everything. Let's just say you're going for a trip to Turkey. You're so busy, you have no time to check out where to go to, what the tourist spots are. You just heard it's good, very good, big nice masjids there, good food there, good markets there, you heard from your friends. So you book a ticket and you're so busy you didn't check, and then suddenly you get on the flight and you go. And when you go there, then you know, you've booked a hotel and now you're looking, where should I go? You're going to waste so much time in finding out where to go. You only got 3 days. But if you have everything booked from before, I'm going to do this on this day, this at this time, and this much on this day, inshallah, you're going to have a lot more barakah in time. This is what our ulama tell us as well. And this is what any productivity expert, anybody who's efficient, will tell you the same thing. We need to be organized. So in Ramadan, our schedule needs to be organized around the salat, the masjid, the fasting, and if we're still working, then our work. And see in between. So we don't have to do, for example, we don't have lunch because we're fasting. So in lunch, what can I do to replace it? Should I just sit and relax and do social media, watch some WhatsApp videos and things like this? Or what should I do? No, I've got to have 45 minutes or 1 hour for my lunch break. I'm going to read one juz inside there. I'm going to read my dhuhr, and I'm going to read one juz in there, and I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. When I come back, I'm going to relax a bit, then I'm going to go to the masjid, and I'm going to stay in the masjid from this time to this time. And I'm going to do this many prayers, this many qada prayers, this much tahajjud prayer. The best way to do it is to organize it with the family. That's a topic I'm going to discuss more, inshallah, in the other masjid. But it's to organize with the family, the tartib, with the whole family in place. So that is just some encouragement and some motivation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this Ramadan good for us. In terms of the fiqh of Ramadan, I'm going to open it up to questions, but I'll just mention a few things regarding fasting, taraweeh, i'tikaf, and zakat, just so that certain things that come into my mind that I think may be useful, and then after that, inshallah, if you have any questions, you can ask that. So as you know, that if somebody eats in Ramadan, forgetting he's fasting, so first day of Ramadan or second day of Ramadan, and there's some sweets there or some biscuits there or some coffee there, and you're feeling tired, and you just start drinking some coffee. You didn't realize you're fasting. Even if you had a full meal, your fasting will not break. Allah has that has been forgiven. Yes, in one madhab it does break, but in our madhab, in most of the madhab, it does not break. However, if you eat by mistake, or you put something down your throat by mistake, it will break. Mistake is different from forgetting. Mistake means, for example, if I was washing my mouth in wudu, and I wasn't careful, if you're not careful, like you start gargling, and some water went down, that will break the fast. You have to make it up later. Of course, if you eat on purpose, knowing you're fasting and you eat on purpose, then that's qada and kafara, which means 60 fasting like that. But that's an important distinction between those things. Now, one other thing that people might not know, if you break your fast by mistake, for example, by taking water down while you're washing your mouth or something. So when we wash, when we do wudu, we should wash looking down so that the water doesn't accidentally go down the throat, and you should not gargle. Gargling should be avoided. Gargling means to, you know, take the water and gargle it in the throat. That's very dangerous. So we don't want to do that. Also, we don't want to be close to people smoking or bakhur. If you're going past and some of it went down, it's okay. That won't break it. But if you stand there and you take the smoke in, that will break the fast because you're doing it purposely. Likewise, when a woman is cooking, or anybody is cooking under steam, or if you're in a restaurant and you're cooking in steam, as long as you're not purposely taking it and enjoying it, mashallah, this is some nice tandoori chicken or karhai gosht or something, and I can't eat it, but you know, let me enjoy the vapor, then that could break your fast because you're taking the steam inside from it. But if it's just like that and you're trying to avoid it, that should not break your fast. So that's regarding fasting. Regarding come zakat, most people tend to give money and their zakat during Ramadan. Otherwise, Ramadan has no special connection with zakat. They're totally two different things. There's no special connection of Ramadan and zakat. But because zakat is fard, and Allah promises 70 times the amount, so people like to give it there. If our zakat is... Zakat works... The way zakat works is... Let's just say that the first time I receive a nisab of zakat, which is about £300, which is the minimum, I don't pay zakat straight away. This is not like income tax where you pay on every pound you make. If I make £300, now I've got £300, my year will begin from here. I have to pay zakat the next year. Now most of us already have some money, so our year has probably started already. So the next year, Islamic year, on that same date, I could just say the 1st of Sha'ban is when I got £300 for the first time. I'm going to check next year on the 1st of Sha'ban, do I still have minimum nisab of zakat, which is about £300. If I do, then whatever I have on this day, I have to give 2.5% of this. On the 30th of the previous month, before the 1st of Sha'ban. If I had £5,000, but I had to buy a car, so I spent £4,500 yesterday, and today is my zakat date, I only have £500 left. I only pay zakat on £500. I mean, as long as I didn't do that to get away from it. Even if you did do that, you still only have to pay, but it's bad, right? Some people, they do a bit of a trick. They take all of their money the day before their zakat is due, and they say to their wife, "You've been such a good woman. I'm going to gift this all to you." So he gifts it all to her, so he has zero the next day. That's cheating. Okay? It's just a joke. You shouldn't be doing that anyway. Right. Just in case you're like, what are you doing? You know? Likewise, if today is my zakat date, but yesterday I just received £10,000 as inheritance, all of a sudden, today I'll have to pay zakat for it. Because my year is up. It goes year by year. The only time the year becomes cancelled and starts again later is if you go down to zero anytime. If you go down to zero and you go in debt, or you go down to zero and you've got nothing left, then your year cancels and you start again from the next time you have nisab al-zakat. Very simple, very simple. So you don't have to worry about what happens during the year as long as you don't go down to zero. You go up and down during the year, just on the day of your zakat, that's the day you have to worry. How much do I have in money, in stock? If there's debt owed to me, like I've given somebody a loan, I have to pay zakat on all of this. I minus my debt, my own debts to somebody else, and look at my assets, and bismillah, that's what I give. So make sure you have a date. You have to have a date. And if your date is in the middle of the year, you can't delay to pay zakat 5 months later in Ramadan. You have to pay it in advance. But what you can do is, if your date is 5 months before Ramadan, you can pay then when the next Ramadan comes, you can pay zakat in advance for the next year. Whatever estimate you want to. Like, let's just say I estimate my zakat is going to be £500. I pay £500 this Ramadan. Then 6 months later when my zakat date comes, I calculate. And if it was the same amount, alhamdulillah. If it was more, then I pay the rest. And if it was less, alhamdulillah. Nafil, it's fine. So you could do it that way. Otherwise, don't make sure that your zakat has to be known. It doesn't have to. It has to go year to year according to the Islamic dates. The other thing is about i'tikaf. I'tikaf should be done, and it's it's a very, very strongly emphasized sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ always did it. I'tikaf of the last 10 days in any masjid that is a permanent place and that has the 5 daily prayers there, that's the only obligation. This is a permanent masjid, right? So you have i'tikaf. At least there should be one person doing i'tikaf. If nobody in the community does i'tikaf, then everybody's blameworthy for this. At least there should be one person doing i'tikaf. And the purpose of i'tikaf is for us to just come into the house of Allah and say, Ya Allah, I've come to the door of your house and I need to be accepted. I need you to give me all of these, whatever I need. And Allah is very generous. Allah is very soft and compassionate. When He sees somebody making any effort, He's willing to give them. He just wants to see that somebody recognizes him. Say that there's a person in hellfire, a sinful Muslim who gets into hellfire and he's being punished. After one punishment, he suddenly says, didn't my Allah promise so and so? Immediately Allah says, get him out because he knows me. Allah just wants us to know him, recognize him, respect him, honor him, and devote ourselves to him. So let us make some schedules of how we can make this Ramadan better than any before it. I'm going to give this much more sadaqah. I'm going to do this much more salat. I'm going to calculate my qadha prayers and start making them up. I'm going to do this much more Quran. And in my Quran, see, we're all getting older and ultimately we're going to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Quran, most of us just focus on reading Quran. We just read. And mashallah, Allah ta'ala accept our masajids, they're filled with people, mashallah, sitting, finishing many, many Qurans. But there are two other aspects of the Quran which we're missing. One is understanding the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent every one of us, have you seen the email from Allah that He sent us? Have you seen it? Have you guys seen the email from Allah? No? The Quran. Allah sent an email to us, a message, email, WhatsApp message, whatever you want to say. And we're going to go to the hereafter and Allah is going to say, I sent you a message, you know, by WhatsApp, by email. Did you open it and check it? You know, I wanted to. I knew it was there. I knew I had to check it, but I never got around to doing it. You know, I've had this occasion when I'm very bad with email, right? So some people say, brother, I sent you email. I said, yeah, you're right. I'm really sorry, man. I'm very bad with email. You know, you should have sent me a reminder. Are you going to tell Allah that? Allah sends reminders. This is a reminder. So Allah has sent us the Quran. Alhamdulillah, many of us do read it. But how many of us have read the whole thing to understand it just once? What is Allah telling us? We're not reading it to give fatwas. You know, we're not reading to become scholars. We're reading it to just become aware of Allah. Allah speaking in the Quran. He tells us who He is, what He's doing, what He likes, what He doesn't like, how He rewards, how He punishes, what He's done before, what He will do. It's amazing that the way to get to know Allah is through the Quran. And we're going to die and we would never have read even it once. So let us make an effort that this Ramadan, right now, we're going to begin. So by the time, we may not be able to finish the whole meaning in the Quran, fine. This Ramadan, let us make an intention that before I die, I want to make sure to at least read it once, if not two, three, multiple times, inshallah. So if you're spending, let's just say somebody's spending 2 hours a day on the Quran, because you've got school, work, whatever. You only got 2 hours. Many of our retired people have 7, 8 hours maybe, 10 hours. But if you've got 2 hours, maybe spend 50% of that 1 hour on reading. Like you do Ramadan reading, 10 rewards for every letter, right? Spend 25% on understanding. Get a translation in whichever language, Bangla, Urdu, English, whichever one you want. And just read, slowly, just read. What's the third thing then? The other 25%, half an hour? Is to memorize. MashaAllah, many of us know some like 5, 10, 15 surahs. But why don't we learn more and become a bigger hafiz? Hafiz, usually we say for the one who learned the whole Quran. But I mean for just be a bigger Hafiz than we are right now. Right now we're Hafiz of 10 surahs. Hafiz means memorizer. Or we know 20 surahs. Let us learn 25 surahs, 30 surahs. And it's very easy. In Ramadan, the time you spend on reading, just read, like if you don't know Yasin by heart, Surah Yasin, just start reading it over and over again. Yasin wal Qur'an al Hakim, 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 Yasin wal Qur'an al Hakim. You'll get faster because now you know it. You'll still get the reward for reading because you're still getting reward for every letter, 10 rewards. Whether you read it for reading or whether you read it for memorizing. But the benefit is that soon you'll memorize it. When you stand in tahajjud, you won't have to just say, oh, I only know Qul huwallahu ahad. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. You can read more. When you're traveling, you'll be able to read Quran. And ultimately, in the hereafter, the more Quran you know, that's how high you can go in paradise. You may not become full hafiz, that's fine. But at least we can learn more surahs that we know now than we know now. So that maybe, and if you want to be a hafiz, bismillah. It's not beyond Allah to make you a hafiz, by the way. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. I'm going to stop here so that we can allow you to ask your questions because it was supposed to be about the fiqh of Ramadan. I don't know how many questions you have, but let us begin inshallah. Whether it's about Ramadan, zakat, or itikaf, or tarawih, inshallah.
I'm a taxi driver, so when I'm in my car, if I don't have udhu, can I use my app?
Yes, you can. You can use your app. You can use your app and you can just... as long as you don't touch the words. So from the side, if you move it, it's fine.
And when you read a translation, you know, same again, if I don't have the words...
Yeah, you can't touch the translation. You can touch commentary, but you can't touch translation. So if it's translation, you just move it carefully without touching the actual words.
So you can touch the meaning or...
You can't touch the translation, but if there's a commentary with it, you could touch that. But many don't have commentaries. Again, you just be careful and touch an empty space and move the page. Barakallahu feek. Also, what I'm going to suggest to the sisters is one of the most difficult things in Ramadan is to decide what to cook. And sometimes the men are not very helpful. They say, what shall I cook today? It's like, cook whatever you want. Sometimes it's easier for a woman to cook something they know, like they know they've planned to cook, than to think of what to cook sometimes. So, mashallah, one secret we found very useful is before Ramadan, you actually make a schedule for the whole menu, a menu for the whole month. And then you just cook that every day. And then you adjust it. It makes life easier. I just want to share with the women. Yes, brother. Okay, some questions here. How do you calculate your qadha prayers? You just think and think and think, how many prayers have I missed since I became mature, which was about the age of 13, 14. You get a rough estimate. Don't overburden yourself. Just get a rough estimate and start. And inshallah, once you do that, then you can always do a few more afterwards to be precautious. Right? And there's two ways. There's multiple ways of doing this. One way is that a person does one fajr, qadha with every qadha, with every new fajr, one dhuhr with every dhuhr. What a lot of people have told me is they found easier is to finish off one prayer first, like get all of your fajrs done. Do 5 or 10 in a day. And you feel, okay, alhamdulillah, I have no more fajrs left. Then start on your dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, like that. And just keep a calculation. There are some apps as well that allow you to now do... keep the accounts for that as well if you want to. But at least if we start inshallah, we can die trying. Even if we don't finish, Allah Ta'ala will help us inshallah. But if we don't do anything, then it's an issue. Likewise for our fast as well. We should just make an estimate.
I think you probably answered this, but...
And how do we make up missed prayers maybe when we were younger and didn't pray? It's the same thing. You just make an estimate, a rough estimate, and then go with that. Inshallah. Please ask for me, does a breastfeeding woman whose milk supply reduces when she fasts need to fast? Her baby isn't on solids yet. So this needs a bit more nuanced answer. Go and contact a dietitian. You have dietitians, whether in the community or in the doctors, to see which there's certain milk, there's certain foods that help in giving you energy and milk production. MashaAllah, in our third world countries, the women would have told you that already. You know, there are certain foods that they will feed the breastfeeding woman to produce extra milk. So it's just mostly it's about a diet. I can't speak for everyone, but for most women it's about a diet. If they get a good diet, they can do everything. And the fasting are not that long as they used to be before. However, if you have a medical condition and you're really, really, you've tried everything and you're going to really struggle and your baby is going to be harmed, then you could have, and you know this from experience, or a good Muslim doctor will tell you the same thing, then in that case, you can fast later, outside, do qadha instead. But you should try your best by getting a better diet, and Allah help you. And does brushing the teeth invalidate your fast? As some said, you can if you don't swallow. So if you brush your teeth with no toothpaste, with no flavored stuff, like with miswak or a dry brush, you can brush all day long, right? As long as nothing goes down, you're fine. But if you brush with some toothpaste, then you're adding the taste, so it's makruh, it's undesirable. And if anything goes down, it will break. Otherwise, it's at least undesirable, reprehensible, because of the flavor you're adding to that. Some pregnant women can and cannot fast. What is the threshold? Same thing as the women who are breastfeeding. If they can change their diet and certain medications and so on, they should try to fast. And a lot of women fast when they're pregnant. There's no one rule that if you're pregnant, you don't fast. Right? However, if you are very weak and you got some complications, and it's just, try one or two. You know, it's tough, I just can't do it. I get headaches, or I get this, or I get like severe migraines or something. Then miss some and then start again. A lot of the time it's your diet and your medication and your health. So consult with somebody specifically about that, but just don't give up just like that. Try a few, then if you get tired, miss one, try again. And because you just can't get that same reward. It's too valuable to miss.
Question regarding intention. For Ramadan fast, when's the latest time you can keep an intention? And for Qadha fast, when's the latest? When do you have to make that intention?
Now, mashallah, in Ramadan, Allah has made it specially for Ramadan. So, if you have an intention, like Taraweeh time, after Taraweeh, that I'm going to get up for suhoor, then isn't that an intention for fasting the next day? That's an intention. That's enough. You don't have to specially say, I am fasting tomorrow. As long as it's in your mind that I am fasting, that's enough. Some madhabs, they have to say it. So I've been to those masjids and the imam will make everybody do niyat. Nawaitu an asuma ghadan and so on, right? We don't have that because for us it's just, your intention is there. If your intention is to wake up for the sehri and you're going to fast, your intention is done. In fact, even if you did not make intention or you were half-half, should I fast tomorrow or not because I'm sick? Then in the morning, after the fast began, you did not eat anything, and then you decided, I'm going to make an intention at 9 o'clock in the morning, your fast will still count. Your intention counts until half the day. Half the day has passed. Half the day means from Fajr to sunset, half time. Not from sunrise to sunset, because that's later. Not noon. But from Fajr time to sunset, what is half the time? So it's usually an hour, half an hour, 1 hour before noon is where you can make intention until. Okay? That is for Ramadan. Outside Ramadan, if you're going to make qadha for Ramadan, then your intention has to be before Fajr time. Otherwise, if you fast, it's going to become nafil fast. If you want to make it for a makeup fast, like today, if you wanted this to be qadha fast, it had to be, the intention had to be from before Fajr. Then this will become qadha fast, otherwise it'll become automatically nafil fast. Okay? So that's the intention part, that it's just what's in your mind. Jazakallah khair, Allah bless you all. There were more hands up, but again, we've got a lot of question and answers on our fatwacenter.org, and Zamzam Academy has a lot of questions, and just check the YouTube channel out or the website out, inshallah.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.